Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the daily rant and radio show. We talk about all of the good, bad, and the ugly of current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley. You, our listeners, are invited to call in and stand on our soapbox with us. Call 347-989-0126 between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. That's 347-989-0126. Now, here are your host and creator, Scott Fullerton, and co-host, Craig Hurley.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. It is Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. We appreciate you tuning in. I am your host, Scott Fullerton, and just a little bit, I'll be joined by my co-host, actor and writer, Craig Hurley. We're glad to be back on the radio this week. We have a lot to talk about. There's lots of things been going on in the news last week while we were out. And, of course, the news doesn't stop, so it's still happening this week as well. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we hope to hear from you. Give us a call if you have an opinion on anything we're talking about or you want to start a subject of your own. You can give us a call at 347-989-0126. That's 347-989-0126. Feel free to call in. The phone lines are open. You'll be able to hear the show while you are on hold. So Craig is having some technical difficulties calling in. We'll get started with him in just a moment. But let's continue on to some of the subjects of last week that we didn't get to yesterday. Yesterday we talked primarily about Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein, and what was going on there, which is still happening as we speak. And we talked about a lot of other stuff. Let's go try to catch up some things now. I'm going to start with we missed yesterday talking about the police commissioner in New York City finally firing the officer Danielle Pantaleo, the one that used a chokehold on Eric Garner. It's been 5 years in the running now. When it first happened 5 years ago, as you know, Eric Garner was selling what they call selling single cigarettes. And so he, I guess it's a common practice in New York City. You get away from the taxes that way. And so he was confronted by some policemen and was being a little confrontational, I guess, and resisting a ticket. It's supposed to be a ticket for someone selling tobacco, right? You're unlawfully selling tobacco without a license, without taxing it, so forth, so forth. So the most should be a ticket. It turned into a confrontation where he was put into a chokehold that is banned by the city of New York. Unfortunately, it's not illegal, just banned. And he said 11 times that he could not breathe afterwards, and they kept pinning him to the ground, and he passed away for it. They call him Lucy's, by the way. They call him selling Lucy's, which is a loose cigarette. So this happened 5 years ago. He was killed. This Eric Garner was killed. The State Department is not doing anything about it. The federal judicial department, William Barr himself, attorney general, said not to charge him with any crime, not to charge the officer with any crimes against Eric Garner. There was no federal charges put with him, and there was only state charges. It turned out to be a New York City judge that ended up finally deciding that he was guilty of using this chokehold and not guilty of the death, but guilty of using this chokehold. So they fired him from the department yesterday, the commissioner, James O'Neill. Looks like we do have Craig on the line. Craig, how are we doing, buddy?
Hey, dude. Sorry, just having a little technical difficulties here.
It happens. It's all good. We got the show started. We're jumping back into some of the news we missed all the week. We started with yesterday's news about New York Police Commissioner James O'Neill firing Officer Daniel Pantaleo. Finally,
he was one of the officers that was involved with the Eric Garner
murder. Correct.
Okay.
And
that we all saw
is,
on video.
Right. And like I said, he was these police officers were already found not guilty of a crime by William Barr, the Attorney General, by any federal prosecutors. So this was done through the City of New York trial where a judge
right.
says, and all he's guilty of is using a banned chokehold. It's not a attempted murder or murder or anything like that.
Right.
It's only
right.
he is guilty of using a banned chokehold because the chokehold is only banned and it's not outlawed, which is what they're trying to do to it. There is no federal crimes. You can't be charged with killing the person because it was just a banned chokehold. It's not an illegal.
Right.
It's not illegal, which is really silly to me. It's like cutting a very small edge there, I think. But so the officer was fired yesterday. Of course, the police union immediately said they're going to appeal. So it'll be interesting to see what that happens. The guy has been on death duty for 5 years. He's on death duty for 5 years. Then he was suspended once the ruling came down from the judge that he was found
right.
guilty of using this banned process. So he has been suspended for 2 weeks now, and it took the commissioner 2 weeks to actually fire him.
To announce
so,
it.
Yeah, to announce that he was actually fired. He had to make the decision on it. Even though the judge found him guilty of any, the judge couldn't pronounce sentence. That's up to the police commissioner. So he was just
right.
suspended following the decision, and then the police commissioner had to decide his sentence, so to speak, not the judge, and the sentence was for termination. But again, he's being terminated for using a banned chokehold, not for killing this guy, which is essentially what happened, because he used this chokehold. So interesting stuff. Took 5 years, and just thinking about it, I mean, the whole thing was for selling untaxed cigarettes on the street, what they call Lucy's in New York City. It's happened so much, they have a term for it. They're called Lucy's.
Right.
So because someone sold Lucy's, the guy lost his life over it. And I've been hearing a lot of stuff about, they're talking about broken window laws. I'm not sure how familiar you are with that. Maybe you are even more familiar than I am. But I guess this, what they do is they call it either broken window districts or broken window laws, where the theory behind the broken window theory is that even though it's only a petty crime, like a broken window or something like that, it'll eventually lead to a more crime-ridden neighborhood. If you don't stop the smaller crimes, they'll gradually escalate into bigger crimes. So it's like taking a hardcore stance on smaller offenses, like selling cigarettes, in order to stop
like selling
a larger stuff happening later on.
One at a time. I'm a smoker. Been a smoker since I was a kid, and I have almost on a daily basis been asked for a cigarette from, you know, strangers usually.
Sure.
People listen to me. I usually deny them. I mean like that. I don't want people around me smoking, but it's okay if I do, and it's okay if strangers do. And almost all the time, they offer me money. I mean, almost every single time. I usually refuse, but there's been times where they like literally force me to take a quarter, or, you know, force me to take 50 cents. And,
right.
And I'm like, I don't want it, you know, and here you can have a cigarette. But so then that means that I'm accused of, or I'm guilty of doing the same thing that Eric Garner was doing. I think that's really pathetic to think that
right.
if somebody is selling cigarettes, that it will lead to, if somebody is doing some petty crime like that, that it'll lead to, you know, worse criminal activity. I don't see how that. I can understand a broken window in a building not being a deterrent, but being attractive to a criminal, and the area then becoming attractive to criminal activity. So I understand beautification when it comes to a township, you know, or a neighborhood. I understand that. And just cleaning up your side of the street, I totally get that. But, you know, as far as people, this is a capitalist society. We should be able to sell whatever it is as long as it's already for sale. And, you know, it doesn't, and we're not selling to minors, then, you know, we should be able to do whatever. I don't understand how if that thought process could even happen. Because somebody's selling cigarettes, it means it's going to lead to other criminal activity. That's worse than selling cigarettes.
Well, it's not the actual person. It's more of the area. It's called broken window areas, where they figure if they don't clamp down on crimes, on smaller crime, it doesn't matter who's committing them. It doesn't matter what person committed them. But if they start tramping down on smaller crimes throughout a neighborhood, it'll stop a build up to bigger crimes in the neighborhood. Not necessarily that person. Doesn't mean Eric Garner was going to go on to do bigger crimes. It means that they stopped a person who happened to be Eric Garner from doing that small crime.
Yeah, people walk into, I mean, as we've seen lately, people are walking into festivals and blowing people away. Crimes don't, you know, they don't just happen in crappy neighborhoods. Happen all over the place. I guarantee you somebody's getting ripped off in Beverly Hills, California, right now. I guarantee it.
Exactly.
Some criminal activity. Right. And, we are talking about Beverly Hills, so there's got to be some major corruption there. There's a lot of money. So some criminal activity is happening right now. And it's not, you know, that's one of the best neighborhoods in the world, right? At least most affluent.
Right. No,
they have their
own
police.
Exactly.
They have their own police force that is so into just Beverly Hills that during the riots in 94, the Rodney King riots, the police force in Beverly Hills didn't let anyone in or out of Beverly Hills. That's how fierce they were during the riots. They were like their own. Yeah, they called martial law, and they didn't need it around Beverly Hills. The Beverly Hills police force is run like a military. You know, they got a lot of money.
It's an iconic building too. They have this huge building in downtown Beverly Hills that's in every movie scene, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean
the police station.
Beverly Hills Police Department
it's covered
is iconic.
In gold. But... The police station is covered in gold. That's 24 karat gold on top of that dome.
Is it really?
That's,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's covered gold. That's how important they are. That's how important they are, and that's how well paid they are. And yes, that's how important they are to the city of Beverly Hills.
That is crazy. I did not realize that. I thought it was a gold dome on top there. But yeah, it is a very fancy and iconic police station. That's for darn sure. So anyway, we'll see what happens. The civil case is still going on by his mother and his daughter and son. So there's still a civil case against the New York Police Department.
Yeah, we went from New York.
We'll see what happens.
We went from New York to California.
We're talking about the same thing. We're talking about police. Yeah. So it was kind of a bittersweet day for them. I think they were happy that the guy got fired finally after 5 years, but it's still, like I said, there was no criminal wrongdoing ever figured. It was only he broke police procedures while he got fired over. It's kind of a bittersweet thing. But they will have their day in court still. Like I said, they will be they were able to sue him civilly, and we'll see what happens with that. And that's where the other three or four people that went in, I think they're part of the plaintiffs as well. It's not just him that is the only plaintiff, I think, on there. I think it's their other ones for not stopping it or something
like
that. But.
The reason why they banned that chokehold is because it's killed people in the past.
Right.
So that's why it was banned, and that's why he shouldn't have been using it, because it ended up killing Eric Garner.
And I'm not even sure. I have to read it again. I'm not sure if the chokehold is what actually killed him, or them because
they also do this other maneuver. They do this other maneuver where they're putting their knee into the back after already handcuffing the individual on the ground, which that's just going to suffocate somebody, especially, I'm sorry, people that are overweight, they're going to get undue pressure put on top of ribs that are already handling too much pressure. So I'm a little like leery about that, you know, as well, that maneuver.
Well, that's why I said I have to leave. I don't remember it exactly. Yeah, I don't remember if he died from the chokehold. I think he died from being pinned down to the sidewalk and his air being cut off down there more. But the chokehold exasperated the move, and that's. But I don't know if that was the actual cause of death. I don't honestly remember. But it's it was the preceding.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
That led to it. So yeah,
it couldn't.
That was a preceding circumstance. No, I'm sure it did not. That's for darn sure. Okay. So that's the Eric Garner story. We didn't get to that yesterday, but officer is now suspended, or now fired from a suspension, and the civil suit will go on against him and the four others involved in that. I want to go into all. Let's talk about these hate crimes. It's going to combine a lot of things. It's going to combine guns. President's backtracking.
Oh, so it's okay. It's okay if I go on a tangent today, then. It's okay.
Sure.
If I talk about other stuff while we're
try to keep it in the same area. I mean, this kind of concerns background checks. Because the president has reversed himself on background checks after his 2 week
vacation.
Yeah, he
went from background checks to now it's about mental illness.
Right.
Dude, what is wrong with this guy?
Well, it's just he's doing NRA talking points now. He was on vacation for 2 weeks because we know what a hard worker he is. He doesn't get enough executive time. So he was on his vacation for 2 weeks, and it looks like he was visited by different people from the NRA, and now he's using their talking points that there's plenty of background checks, but we don't need more laws. It's not laws that kill people, it's people that kill people, and da 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 da. And so he has totally reversed himself from just a mere 2 weeks ago before he went on vacation. But meanwhile, we have this stuff happening all over the country. We talked a little bit yesterday. They arrested a guy in Florida. He sent a text message. He was planning a mass shooting. He sent a text that said, a good 100 kills would be nice. He was arrested last Friday. His name is Tristan Scott Wicks of Daytona Beach, Florida, charged with making a threat to commit a mass shooting after the county sheriff there. And the thing that I think we need to talk about is I can't believe how young all these people are. We're not talking about older people.
Bill Maher's been talking about this too. It's a bunch of millennials who don't have any friends and they don't have any like significant other. They're kind of geeky, at least, you know, that's what we would call them. They're very alone and they are lonely.
Which is what's weird. They are very highly functioning.
Yep, very highly functioning usually. But that comes along with being a geek. I'm kind of geeky as well. I got all this information about weather and insects and just stupid things. You know, I mean, it's just I've got all this geeky information inside my head, but you know, I tend to like, you know, talk it out. Like, I'm on your podcast and I'm actually talking it out. And I'm trying not to swear. A lot of my friends in the past have said that I'm trying to figure out a word for me that I can actually, say. If I'm talking about myself, can I actually, you know, use the word ass? I mean, you know, I'm trying to figure that out. It is self, you know, deprecating here. So, I got a lot of my friends that have bailed on me too and ghosted me as well. And I'm not thinking about going out and suiting anybody. I don't understand it, actually. I'm like, if you don't have friends, go frickin' get some friends. You know, if you're lonely, go out. Be social. Go out. Go and be somewhere. And it's
right.
just to me, you know, go out and be in public and enjoy life. I don't, even in the worst times of my life when I don't have any friends, I've been that way. I've been like, I'm just going to get out, just go out instead of just sitting inside and being all kind of woe is me. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for anybody. It creates a psychosis.
Well, and like I said, it's very troubling that it's this younger generation of 21 to 25 year olds that this is happening with right now. And like I said,
yeah,
they're
right
punchy.
On the edge of that millennial and Gen Z thing. Gen Z sees differently than the millennials do, and they are right on the edge of the millennials, from what I can tell. All the recent shows.
Right. And personally, I think they're more susceptible. I think they're a lot more politically involved. I think they're susceptible to the
Gen Z.
To the rhetoric we're hearing from the president who doesn't condemn these white nationalist things. I think that they are listening to this and they're believing more because these people are very socially and politically active. And
grew up with all of this. They had a phone, a smartphone in their hands the second they were born. So, you know, they grew up with all of this and are more inundated than any other generation as far as any, you know, fake news or any source that's unreliable. And I see a lot of people posting stuff that are of that generation that I see my generation doing it too, but and I call them out when they do, when it's like they're posting things that are either instigating a problem, perpetuating a problem, or are just completely false. And I'm like, you can't, people aren't going to trust you. Nobody's going to trust you if
right.
you start posting stuff that's just completely false. So you can't do it. And where they have constantly just been posting. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what it is, just as long as the information's out there. But the information is a lot of times just incorrect and you know, so rude. I'm trying to find ways and new words, dude, which is extremely difficult for me and not swearing. So, you know, it's just
you're a wordsmith.
Just rude.
You can do it. I have faith in you. There you go. Yeah, and I mean, speaking of that, like I said, this has hit home twice for me in the past 7 days here. All of a sudden, my little neck of the woods has become ground zero, it seems. They both made national news. First off is an 18-year-old kid, Justin Olsen from Boardman, which is literally, I could throw a rock from my house. I'm in Poland. Boardman is the next town over. So I can throw a rock from my house and hit a Boardman street. So he is from Boardman, literally within 2 miles from me. This kid supposedly had gone in chat rooms on, I think it's called iFunny. It's kind of supposed to be a funny site, but he was doing these terrorist threats and was talking about he was going to shoot up gay bars. He was going to shoot up white supremacist thing. He had all these people he was targeting supposedly in this quote unquote iFunny chat room. And they tracked him down here to Boardman, Ohio. Again, the guy's name was Justin Olsen, but his social media platform was obviously terroristic according to authorities. They searched his parents' house and now originally it said that he had 25 guns and 10,000 rounds of ammunition. It turns out that it's saying locally in the local paper we learned yesterday, his dad is now claiming that he owns these 25 guns and 10,000 rounds of ammunition that supposedly was locked up. But the kid did have access to it. He stayed with both his mom and his dad. His mom and dad are divorced. He stayed with both of them. But, I mean, the kid had access to 10,000 rounds of ammunition and 25 guns, some which were assault-type guns. So that's happening right now. He's been denied bail here in Boardman, Ohio. And same thing, highly functioning. He was scheduled to go next week. He was on ROTC scholarship, of all things, to a University of Ohio. He was supposed to start next week. So highly functioning, yet doing all this hate diatribe online and accessed all these guns. So it's very sad
and
that it really can happen.
And
military training, obviously, doing this ROTC thing. So obviously he has some kind of military background or is looking to go. He was only 18 years old. And then going the opposite direction, if you go 5 miles to the south instead of a couple hundred yards to my west, a 20-year-old man, I know, it's crazy. A 20-year-old guy allegedly threatened to carry out a shooting at our local Jewish community center here in Youngstown, Ohio, which I've been to. They have a lot of nice programs there. They have it's a huge place. It's a gym where they let outside people, non-Jewish people, use access to the gym and pool. They have a lot of great programs there. I know one of their program directors there. I know him personally. But this guy threatened to shoot this Jewish community, this Jewish community center in Ohio. His name is James Patrick Reardon. He's booked in the jail on Saturday on telecommunications harassment and one count of aggravated menacing. Couple of things that I've found being local here is, one, it looks like he's going to get out on – they put him at bond of $250,000 where he only has to put 10% down, which is only $25,000. So it looks like he's going to get out on bond, which is interesting. It's interesting that they're trying to fight the bond because it's technically only charged these two things I said, the telecommunications harassment and aggravated menacing, are only misdemeanors. They're not even felonies.
They're not even felonies.
So his lawyer is trying to argue that $250,000 is excessive.
These people are planning on committing mass murder, and they have already confessed to doing that, correct?
Right. Well, I don't know if he's confessed to it. He's pleaded. I think he pleaded not guilty. But
But according to their manifestos.
I hate when people say that according to
the things that they put on their blogs and on their websites and all of that.
Right.
According to their own testimonials, correct?
Right. Exactly. And an interesting thing about this Patrick Weird guy that threatened the Jewish community. We had a great story. I mean, like I said, I'm lucky to be local here in one sense of the word, I guess, where we had a paper, an article in our local paper. One of our local writers for our local paper had met this guy twice before. Once when he was a college student for Youngstown State University, he was on their news team there and their videography team. And they had back here when Trump was running, he came to the Canfield Fair. It's a big deal here. It happens Labor Day weekend every year here. It's coming up in 2 weeks here, and it's a big thing. Everyone comes around. It's a very well publicized thing. It's a big event. And so he came to the Canfield Fair when he was running back in 2015, and of course the local Republican Party, as an offshoot, just as an offside story, to help raise funds, they were selling $5 a brick to build a wall at the Canfield Fair. They were building a little fake brick, fake thing to make money for the Republican Party, which I wanted to kick that wall in so bad. That's another story. But anyway,
what a joke.
This James Patrick Reardon was there at the Trump rally there and started talking to this reporter and talking about very right-wing things. And it turns out this guy went down to Charlottesville as part of the white supremacy movement. And so this reporter interviewed him down there about that, and they thought he was so controversial at the time that they killed the story and didn't run the story here in the local paper. So the guy has had some of these extremist views for a long time now and was kind of known by one of these reporters. So it was very interesting. So this thing has hit close to home for me twice now within 10 days of homegrown shooters. So this stuff can really happen anywhere, even in little old Northeast Ohio, believe it or not.
Yep.
Crazy stuff.
There's these lonely geeky guys all over the place. They're all over the place.
There you go.
And I say, you know, guys, because, and white guys, because we've hardly ever had a woman be a mass shooter, and we've hardly ever had a black person or a person of color be a mass shooter. It's almost always white young dudes. So who are, you know, who have been ostracized in one way or another by their friends and relatives. And, you know, they're lonely. So, you know, part of me feels really, really bad for these guys, but you cannot go around shooting up a whole bunch of people because you're lonely. You just, it's not the way this works. Go to a bar.
And again,
and
there are no
and
domestic terrorism laws as of now. There are no domestic terrorism. That's
why
they have to do these
really
little misdemeanor laws, and they try to find out.
Have,
they try to find these little stupid laws, which are
domestic
just not right.
Terrorists. They obviously exist. You know, Timothy McVeigh, Oklahoma City bomber. We can keep going. What's it say? Columbine. The Aurora Theater, Orlando shooter.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there are all these guys that are born here. So, born here, raised here.
All right, we're going to take a break there. It's 31 after. We'll play out with talking about these bad boys. This is You're an Animal by Matt Stern. Listen, standing on my soapbox, give us a call back, 347-989-0126. We're here for about 25 more minutes. Be back in just a little bit.
You're an animal, you're an animal. Bite your tongue.
Alrighty, and we are back. That was Matt Stern with You're an Animal. Guys, you're listening to Standing on My Soapbox. Give us a call for the next 20 minutes here, 347-989-0126.
Yeah, we haven't gotten a call in a while.
I know.
We're kind of 347-989-0126, but then again, we weren't on last week, so that could be what I – because we got a call the week before that. So.
Yep, we did.
It's just I'm missing it. I'm missing our callers.
Exactly. All right. Well, unfortunately, we still have lots more violence to talk about after these the
nice.
People in my area and stuff going on. I mean, this past weekend, we have these Proud Boys. I haven't really heard of the Proud Boys before. I guess they were maybe part of Charlottesville back in the day. I'm not sure. But they're kind of popping up again. They had
back in the day. That was only 2 years
showdown
ago.
Showdown between – exactly. Between Proud Boys and Antifa in Portland, Oregon, where I used to live,
right.
happened this past weekend. Relatively tame as far as both sides coming together. Antifa, if you don't know, stands for anti-fascist, which you think would be a good thing. We say we don't have a fascist country, so you think a group of anti-fascists
right.
would be good, but they kind of tend to do it to the nth degree with a little bit of violence and
the way the government's looking at it, right? Our government is currently looking at it. They're trying to put all these laws into place about Antifa. And it's like anybody who just like I could be considered being anti-fascist because I'm anti-fascist. So why
like
would I?
Like it shouldn't be a bad thing. That's what I was saying. I don't
yeah.
see it as being a bad thing.
Like I don't want fascism in my country, but I'm not a part of Antifa. I don't even understand what you know. I mean, it's like they're a group. It should just be a mentality.
Well, supposedly they're a loosely organized movement of left-wing activists and self-described anarchists. So I don't know if they have the right term as. Antifa, maybe they'd
yeah.
be called something else. But these Proud Boys, they're self-identified as Western chauvinists, and they've been designated a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. But they're mostly
wow.
white supremacists, the Proud Boys. So
right.
it's they kind of had this little doing poorly. I guess one of them, I guess it was a Proud Boy sentenced to something last week for a problem they had up in I think it was – I got to see if I can find it here. I'm not sure exactly where it was. New York in the Upper East Side. He was a group of Proud Boys were convicted yesterday of attempted gang assault, attempted assault and riot for their role in a brawl with Antifa last fall on the Upper East Side. So that was they beat four Antifa protesters back then in October of last year. So
right.
that's where this started. Now there's meeting again in Portland, which was a little more tame. There was no violence in Portland. But these Proud Boys said they're coming back every weekend. The mayor of Portland is not having it. They're not happy with it. So we'll see
right.
how that goes. These supposedly Proud Boys are going to come back to protest every week. So we'll see if Antifa shows up each week. So we have
huh.
that kind of hate in the news. And then if we want to move on, we can talk about hate in Israel and denying two of our sitting Congress people access to Israel because
hate all over the
world.
Our
president tweeted
people
that they shouldn't
hating.
Let them in. Can you believe that the president of the United States asked a foreign country to bar two of our own Congress people
yeah.
from entering
yeah.
to
yeah.
an ally country of all things?
Right.
It's the most mind-boggling thing that I've ever seen. And he is just, as he does with everything, he's doubling down and tripling down on it, saying that these guys, these, of course, it's Rashida Tlaib and what's the other girl's name? Representative. Ilhan
I know
Omar.
This
too. Ilhan Omar.
Yeah.
So
Omar.
Yeah, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Omar
right.
of Minnesota, Tlaib of Michigan. They were scheduled to visit next week. Israel were originally supporting it. They were coming here. Now they're condemning it, saying they should have gone as part of a bipartisan task force, but they're upset that they were going to meet with pro-Palestinian groups because they're both pro-Palestinian state. And like a lot of people said, if they have these problems with Israel, they can learn from it on these things. It's as much a learning for the Congress people as it is for the people of Israel to understand what they're learning from. That's what these are called. Fact-finding missions. Our Congress people go on fact-finding missions all the time, and to deny them that from learning either way, whether they're correct or not, is just a totally undemocratic thing to do from the president of our United States. I just do not understand it. I don't know. And then today, of course, like you talk about doubling and tripling down, the president is talking to the Oval Office and says anybody who is Jewish who would vote Democratic is showing a great disloyalty to their religion, and they're either have a total lack of knowledge or greatly disloyal about an entire religion. And the guy doesn't know when to be quiet.
I thought there was a separation of church and state. I'm not sure how religion actually applies to all of this. We're supposed to be thinking logically, not like, you know, what some book says as far as our laws are concerned.
Right. We
so
are just
how is it voting? If you're voting Democrat, you know, are you going against one religion or another?
That's what he says. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
Saying
not sure exactly how that works. The conflict in Palestine and in Israel has been going on for the history of man. That area of Sumeria has always been a conflict, and it's always been because of religious beliefs. So I'm kind of like, why can't we let them handle it? They've been doing it. And why do we need to support one way or another?
Right. No, I mean, and it's definitely not. It's not our war. I mean, and it's caused us.
Right.
That's what's caused all the problems with Iran and everything else. I mean, we've got in the middle of it now. I think we're so embedded that it's hard for us to get out of now. I wish I was more knowledgeable on it because I don't study Middle East politics. But
right.
It seems to me that these Middle East politics have been going on for a very, very long time.
Longer than we've become a country.
Longer
than the United States has actually been a country. I mean, it's thousands of years that there's been a conflict between Israel and Palestine. And they haven't been able to resolve it, not the entire time. So I don't know how to help them. And I don't know I'm not sure we should actually be involved at all. And once again, it's religion. All these made up stories about these made up people. And then why can't we just stick to logic? And if you're going to be religious, every single book out there, at least the ones that I've read, because I've read the Torah, I've read the Quran, and I've read the Bible. And I've read translations, obviously. I mean, well, you have to read a translation of the Bible because it was actually written in Arabic. So you got these translations, and every single one of them says, love your neighbor, says, appreciate your neighbor for their beliefs.
Right.
It doesn't say anything about going and attack these people.
Yeah, it's you need to keep out of religion. I mean, it's just it's not going to end well in family discussions or geopolitical discussions.
I think we actually have to have more of a discussion. I'm not glad that he's bringing it up, but everybody, you know, that's what we've all been told throughout our entire lives. Like, we can't at Thanksgiving dinner, you know, talk about these certain things, and it's because everybody's got their opinions and it gets really heated. And we're, you know, we have to talk about these things. Otherwise, we get to the point where we're at now, where we have, you know, a lot of Christianity in the White House and a lot of Christianity in our government. And it's like, you know, it has no place there. We all have to think logically,
right,
about the things that are actually happening right here, right now, at this moment, and deal with them human to human on an individual basis, even though that's not what democracy actually is. That's more socialism. But, you know, because democracy is about a majority. But you can't have a majority that's all really – it's like a cult. It's a cult if you have a religion that, and isn't that what we call these groups? You know, what do we have Waco, Texas for, and all of that? If it's not cultish, and that's kind of what this whole, I don't want to say his name, but 45's whole, and even these, there's the campaign rallies right now. It's all cultish. And once again, he's calling out religion, and so am I on this. But he's doing it the reverse. It's like you shouldn't be voting Democrat if you're Jewish, because then you're not voting along your faith. He shouldn't be voting along your faith. You should be voting for the correct politician for the job.
Right, and for the good of your country.
Exactly. The correct representative. You can't be voting along your faith. God told you to. What? Because Allah told somebody else to do this. Zeus told somebody else to do that. Should I bring up Satan? Because he's a god. Satan told me to do this. Yeah, you were just finishing watching Lucifer, weren't you?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. He's a god.
No, he is. Actually, that was the whole part of this last season, that he's actually an angel must rule hell, because they were trying to get someone else to rule hell. But Lucifer is only good because an angel has to loot. He's just a fallen angel. So, he started out as an angel, though. That was part of this season. All right, we only have about 10 minutes. So let's go ahead and we'll finish up a little pop culture here of things going on and things we missed. Of course, we'll talk about everyone passing away, and we lost Peter Fonda, Easy Rider. Over the weekend.
Yeah, Peter Fonda died.
Not a part of course, an amazing family, legacy family. His dad, Henry Fonda, his sister, Jane Fonda. He wrote and starred in Easy Rider, won an Academy Award nomination. I don't believe he won, but I think he got an Academy Award nomination for it.
Right.
That's one of the most iconic movies. It was put into like one of the top 25 important movies of our time, I think. So it was very counterculture at the time, but it was an iconic movie. So
right.
Big, going to miss.
Yeah, they did that
been
on
much
a really,
lately.
Really, really low budget too. They did that movie
right.
on a really low budget. And I don't know. And especially, you know, now he's dead. I can't really, I don't want to bash a dead guy. Or tell anything false about him, because I never met him and I never really knew. But when I was living in Hollywood, wait, you know what? Hold on a second, dude.
Okay. We'll come back to Peter Fonda in just a couple of minutes. My next story I want to talk about is Matrix. The Matrix turns 20 this year.
Technical difficulties.
That's all right. Okay. So what's your Peter Fonda story?
When I was living in Hollywood at one point, I actually had the opportunity. Somebody turned to me and said, did you want to buy one of the Harley Davidsons from Easy Rider? And then I found out that it was one of the ones that he had made up, and it wasn't actually one of the ones from Easy Rider. But he would do stuff like that, supposedly. I don't know. I don't know for sure. Where he would make up a bike to look like the Easy Rider bike and then turn around and sell it as if it were the Easy Rider bike. So,
wow.
And all he's got to do is say, yeah, it was used on the set. You know, I mean, that's all you have to do. Not that it was actually seen in the movie. So, but,
right.
Like I said, I don't want to bash a dead guy, and he's not around to defend himself. Anybody out there bought one of those bikes from him?
That'd be interesting
they
to find
call
out.
Us. 347-999-0123.
My good buddy Terry Ray, my good buddy Terry Ray, an actor who lives in Palm Springs now, he had a great Peter Fonda story to say over the weekend. He was at some kind of an industry thing, filming or whatever, and all of a sudden this guy tapped him on the shoulder and said, I asked who I should be meeting at this party, and they said I should meet you. You're the one to talk to. And it was Peter Fonda. And so he ended up carrying on a conversation all night long with my buddy Terry. So Terry and Peter, and he has a great picture,
nice.
The two of them together. And yeah, so it was very flattering for him, and it was a great remembrance for him. So that was kind of cool. So anyway, Peter Fonda will be missed. We still have Jane Fonda is the sole survivor, and she's still looking good, man. For as old as all, I think she's like 78 now or something, isn't she? At least.
Yeah, she's pretty old, but yeah, she does look good. For
still
a
working,
grandma.
I mean,
absolutely.
Working still does. She's 81 years old. Oh my gosh, 81
wow.
years old. That is crazy. 37. Yeah. Wow, 81 years old. Good for her. I mean, still doing Grace and Frankie and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But I was saying, when you had technical difficulty, I was going to go on to something. We come back to Peter. Since you came back to Peter, The Matrix turns 20 this year, and it was just announced today that stars Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss are going to sign on for a new picture to come out next year. Another third sequel to The Matrix. Was that a show that you liked at all? I was never a huge Matrix fan.
I love The Matrix. I loved it when it came out. It's still my favorite. Not the next two. Not the Matrix Revolutions and the other one. They're garbage. Did they make a third? I don't even know. It's garbage.
No, this is going to be the third one. Yeah, this will be the third.
Yeah. This will be the third one. The second one, Matrix Revolution, was just garbage. And it really had nothing to do with the storyline of we wanted to see something really happen. Like he was, telling the world that they could be free. And
right.
we wanted to actually see that happen. So, and that's not where they went with the Matrix Revolutions. So, but
yeah,
I really liked Hugo Weaving, the actor
that played the bad guy in the first one. So I did enjoy
right.
the first one, but I guess it is the second one I didn't enjoy. The Hugo guy, he's an amazing actor, I think.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed
yeah,
him
the guy,
more.
The agent.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He's really good. No, they had a great cast. I think the entire cast at that time was perfect. I'm not necessarily a big Keanu Reeves fan. I did.
Right.
I don't know if I told you about this. I saw this thing about him. What is it? Wick, the new movie that he's in, where he has to do a lot of firearms. He has to shoot a lot of guns, and he was
okay.
going through some training. Wait, hold on a second, dude.
All right, we got more technical difficulties, so he'll be back in just a second. So we're talking Keanu Reeves.
Sorry, man. I am going through different zones here, and I can't, like, it's too hard to explain. Yeah, Keanu had to, what's the, I can't think of the name of the new movie.
I think it's Whip, but go ahead.
Whip.
Just tell a story.
He's on, you can see him on video and you can see him on like YouTube. He is absolutely amazing and is breaking records at the shooting range that he's at. and he's absolutely amazing at firearms. And he was shooting different types of things in a different, in a allotted amount of time. And he shot like a 9mm, then he shot a AK, and then he shot a shotgun, and it was all in like 15 seconds. And he nailed every single target that he needed to nail. And it was just, as opposed to the targets that are, because there is pop-up targets that he's not supposed to shoot, as opposed to some [S2] Right. [S1] Of the pop-up targets that he's supposed to shoot, and nailed every single one. And just he had like 15 seconds, and he did it in like 12. It was crazy amount of time. So
was that for the new John Wick movie that came out? Was that
yeah,
the John
yeah,
Wick
yeah.
movie that
That's
came
exactly
out?
That's exactly what I'm talking
okay.
about, the John Wick.
All
yeah.
right.
That he's gone
wow.
through some extensive training for this film. And he probably, he probably all along has been training like this, but some seriously extensive training to the point where he's an expert shot. And it's really cool to see him actually do that, where in the past, for a lot of roles, where Keanu is concerned, I'm always like, he's Bill and Ted in every single role. He's just Keanu. He's just, whoa. I mean, he even did that in The Matrix. So, I've never been a big fan of his. But as far as the way he is preparing for a role, I find it really interesting that maybe he's now growing into actually being a serious actor. A really,
right.
really serious
right, yeah.
artist.
No, he's got some actually good buzz for his last couple of works, that he has become a very professional actor at the very least. So, yeah, that's great
right.
to hear. I like that. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, we're running out of time here. We got to wrap it up. Last thing, they do have a new title for the new James Bond movie. Daniel Craig returns as 007 in No Time to Die. It'll be out in the UK on April of next year, I think April 3rd, and on April 8th here in the U.S. So I like myself a good Bond film. I like myself a good Bond villain and a good Bond theme song. So we will end it on there today for our uplifting moment of the day. Thanks for tuning in, guys and gals. Give us a call tomorrow. We'll be back at 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern time. Let's play out with a little time ain't what it used to be, because we are flying through these shows, my friend. This has been quick again.
Wow. Yeah,
thanks for playing.
Quick. Yeah, no, thank you.
All right,
I appreciate
guys.
It, man.
We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Always a long
don't let